From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Yesterday, Dr. Cairns began a series of studies in the book of Judges. Joshua has died, as have many of the elders of Israel who outlived him. The nation of Israel was in Canaan, having won many outstanding victories. Yet there remained much land still to be conquered. In the course of the book, we see Israel failing to carry out the divine mandate of driving out the heathen from the land. Instead, they came to terms with the enemy, first by allowing them to remain among them, then by intermarrying with them, and finally by becoming their slaves. In this opening message of the series, Dr. Cairns is focusing on the first judge, Othniel, a young man of great courage and personal fortitude. The first thing we see about this man is that he was called to serve God in a day of great apostasy. He provides us with the lesson that God's people are to be a separated people. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue a message entitled Othniel's Life and Times. First, please enjoy this brief devotional thought found in Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the writings of C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled Abiding in Obedience in Love. The text is John 15, verse 10, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. These things cannot be parted, abiding in obedience and abiding in the love of Jesus. A life under the rule of Christ can alone prove that we are the objects of our Lord's delight. We must keep our Lord's command if we would bask in his love. If we live in sin, we cannot live in the love of Christ. Without the holiness which pleases God, we cannot please Jesus. He who cares nothing for holiness knows nothing of the love of Jesus. Conscious enjoyment of our Lord's love is a delicate thing. It is far more sensitive to sin and holiness than mercury is to cold and heat. When we are tender of heart and careful in thought, lip, and life to honor our Lord Jesus, then we receive tokens of his love without number. If we desire to perpetuate such bliss, we must perpetuate holiness. The Lord Jesus will not hide his face from us unless we hide our face from him. Sin makes the cloud which darkens our sun. If we will be watchfully obedient and completely consecrated, we may walk in the light as God is in the light, and have as sure an abiding in the love of Jesus as Jesus has in the love of the Father. Here is a sweet promise with a solemn if. Lord, let me have this if in my hand, for as a key, it opens this casket. From time to time, here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions, such as, why did Christ have to be born a man? Why does God allow suffering? What is the unpardonable sin? And what's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such questions. All of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. But we're also pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 20th century Christian. You may have a copy of the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Right, Let the Bible Speak, 1207. Facing believers in this day.
The greatest possible qualification for political service in any nation is that these men, know the works of God. God gave Israel a leadership like that, and the people served the Lord all their days. It's true also, of course, in the church. I think of a church like the Free Presbyterian Church. We're reaching now what is for us a tremendously important and, I even say, dangerous juncture. We are coming to the end, even back in Northern Ireland, where most of our churches still are. We're coming to the end of the first generation. Many of the fathers of the church, those elders whom God raised up to take a stand and do a work for God, have already gone to their reward. There are still a few of the very first generation of mighty men that God blessed in a wonderful way still with us in the church. And I believe that their ministry is to our church what the ministry of Joshua and the elders was to the children of Israel. Always calling us back to first principles. Always getting our feet on the solid rock upon which we started. Not allowing us to drift away in the spirit of the age, in compromise, in carnality, and disobedience. But you know, as those men die off, as happens in every church, be it a local church or a whole community of churches, there is a danger. The danger that the children of Israel faced, of beginning to take for granted the glorious things that we have given us by the free grace of God, to begin to slacken our grip on the things that are really important, then to drift into sin. This happened to Israel. It started out wonderfully well with Joshua and even in the days immediately following. We find that they went up from victory to victory, but then we got a strange and disturbing little statement. One tribe after another, Judah and Simeon, who shared a lot and an inheritance, then Benjamin, then Manasseh and Ephraim and all down, they could not drive out the enemy completely. And rather than commit themselves to the ongoing conflict, they came to terms. They put them to tribute. They changed the plan of God. God called them to unremitting warfare against the Canaanitish nations around about them. And instead of going on to battle constantly against these nations, the children of Israel, tribe by tribe, made their peace with a sector, with a remnant. And they said, you pay us tribute. Our plan, different though it is from the plan of God, seems nonetheless to be very, very wise. It seems to be something that is going to be good for us. Consolidate our position in the land. But it was the beginning of the end, spiritually for them. We find that as they came to terms, they then began to disobey the Lord. The great wall of separation was broken down. God's people are called to be a separated people. Separation in holiness from the world. It was a New Zealand preacher who many years ago said, I looked for the world and I found it in the church, and I looked for the church and I found it in the world. And that is a horrible state of affairs. God's people are called to separation. It is first and foremost a personal separation in purity and in holiness unto God. Being a fundamentalist does not make you a separatist. Being a Free Presbyterian will not make you a separatist. You can wear whatever label or any badge you want to wear, but if your heart is wedded to the world, you are not living in separation to God. God's call is to separation. Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. I don't think anything could be clearer than that. This is not an option for the people of God. It is an absolute for the people of God. And it's not only true individually, but it is true collectively of the body of the Church of Jesus Christ. It is to be a body that is marked by purity and holiness. Old-fashioned. God give us grace to stick with it. But then it's not only a separation in personal holiness, but it is a separation from apostasy. It's a separation from heathenism. It's a separation from that religious system that is everywhere around us in this world that is so acceptable. We're living in the days of the beginnings of the great apostasy. We are beginning in our day to see the gathering of the armies of anti-Christianity as they get themselves ready for the mighty cataclysmic events of the last days. We are seeing today the ecumenical apostasy stampeding the work of God in every part of the world. And all around us, we are seeing one church after another either engulfed in the ecumenical apostasy or else making terms with this apostasy. And the call of God to his people is total, utter separation and warfare with the apostasy. Over in Northern Ireland in the last century, there was a great conflict between the Unitarians and the Trinitarians in the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, as it is now constituted and called. Then it was the Synod of Ulster. And in that synod, there was a great Unitarian preacher by the name of Henry Montgomery. He swayed thousands. Politically, he was a liberal. Theologically, he was a liberal, a denier of the deity of Jesus Christ. On the other side, there was a man by the name of Henry Cook. And Henry Cook decided, under God, to disturb the status quo. He crusaded through Presbyterianism. And his challenge to sleeping churches and sleeping Christians was, can you convince me from the Word of God that it is right for Trinitarians and Unitarians to join cordially together in ordaining one another to the gospel and its ministry? Can you convince me from Scripture that a man who is committed to preaching the doctrine of saving grace in God's dear Son, Jesus Christ, should join together with a man who denies the deity of Jesus Christ? Can you convince me from Scripture that that ought to be done? And of course they couldn't. And so went up the great call for separation. That's the call of the day, because we're living in a day of great apostasy. That apostasy has its tentacles running throughout the length and the breadth of this land and indeed every other land. You can see how it gets to work. In chapter 3 of Judges we read, that they took their daughters to be their wives, they gave their daughters to their sons, and they served their gods. That is always the working of apostasy. A great getting together to the neglect of biblical theology. You'll see that very clearly. That is always the mark of apostasy. It is a human movement, no doubt satanically inspired, but it is a human movement of getting together to the neglect of the revelation of God's word and to the detriment of the glory of God's name. That's apostasy. And the children of Israel, God's covenant people, got carried away with that apostasy. In this nation, the same thing is happening. What shall we say of the Church of Jesus Christ when today it is more worldly minded than heavenly minded? What shall we say about churches that not only are not fighting the enemies of God, but can't even recognize the enemies of God? What will we say about churches that are professedly Bible-believing churches that look out, for instance, on the Church of Rome, and they can't see that it's any different than just another denomination? Oh, it has its faults, but at the end of the day, the Roman Catholic Pope is really a nice man and a good man. What are we going to say of this day when our people don't even know the issues? Never mind take a stand against those issues. Let's cut a little bit closer. What are we going to say about Bible-believing churches? Listen, where the very fundamentals of the faith of Jesus Christ are rarely, if ever, expounded, where the most of God's people haven't the slightest idea of the cardinal doctrines of justification by free grace through faith in the merits of Christ, acceptance with God in union with Christ, the priestly work of Christ, the kingly work of Christ, the person and work of the Holy Spirit. What are we going to say when God's people, churches naming his name, never even seem to mention these things? I think it was our brother Kelch gave me a leaflet. If it wasn't you, Charlie, forgive me, it was someone else that gave me a leaflet. It has been presented to many Christians. And you have an either-or answer to a series of questions. And if you answer in a certain way, although there are no names and no tags and no indications in the questions, if you answer in a certain way in a series of questions, you're really saying, I believe in Roman Catholic theology and the Roman Catholic way of salvation. And that leaflet has been presented to many fundamental Bible-believing questions. Time after time after time, they have ticked the box that says, I believe what Rome believes. Now, of course, they're not Roman Catholics. Of course, if you were to explain to them all that's involved, they would shy away from it. Their heart is better than that. But what I'm saying is, we're living in a day when the very influence of apostasy has got right into Bible-believing churches, and churches nowadays are failing to preach up Christ and the mighty doctrines of God's saving grace in Christ. And the result of that is always bondage. We find that in these days of Othniel, The people were brought into deep bondage.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.